Today's big question: how do businesses turn simple transactions, digital and in-person, into moments of magic that delight their customers, build loyalty, and increase profitability? Today, I'm very excited to welcome Catherine Nestor. Catherine is the Chief Product and Technology Officer at Ruby Receptionist, where she leads an amazing team of professionals, her words, providing the technology that powers their live receptionist services, where their competitive advantage is in the human connection that's created. Ruby has won numerous awards, including fastest growing companies in Oregon and Southwest Washington 9 years running, the top 10 most admired companies in Oregon, and that includes folks like Nike and Intel. And in 2015, they received an investment of $38.8 million to continue growing their service nationwide. Catherine says that as a technologist, she's fascinated by the challenge of how to leverage something that by its very nature removes the human element, and then using that to expand the reach of meaningful human connections in an increasingly virtual world. In her past, Catherine has also worked for companies such as Ancestry.com and AAA of Northern California, Nevada, and Utah. Catherine, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Cameron. It's a delight to be here.
All right. I'd love to start with, can you just explain what Ruby Receptionist is? Because many of our listeners may not know, and then what your role is there.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So Ruby Receptionist is a live remote receptionist service. So we answer the phones for 6,000 plus small businesses across North America. And with each one of those phone calls, we see that as an opportunity to make a connection with the caller, helping our customers grow their business by retaining customers, creating customer loyalty, and creating great first impressions for all those potential new customers. For us, that great connection that we make with the callers is really intrinsic in our mission. Our mission is to preserve and perpetuate those real meaningful connections in our increasingly technology-driven and virtual world, which makes my job there ironic. And as I said, as you mentioned in the intro about me, my job is the Chief Product and Technology Officer. And I'm really looking to see how do we take technology and use it to making human connections easier and expand the reach that we can do that. As I said, we serve businesses all over North America from our offices in Portland, Oregon. And so technology is really one of the ways that we're able to connect with all those people across the country.
Which is so cool, because I think we always think of technology, I shouldn't say always, but usually as something that removes that human element. So I love that focus. And obviously, you know, a lot of the focus in technology these days is around empathy and understanding that experience, but it doesn't seem to seep through very often. So
no, it doesn't. Usually it's about automation and how do you eke efficiencies out. And we're still looking for efficiencies, but the efficiencies we're looking for is in how we can make a connection. What makes it easier for us to make a connection with people when we're calling? Because that connection is what drives customer loyalty and your raving fans.
So I'd love to hear a little bit about your business model, you know, why someone would pay more for your service when at the basic level, someone could say, hey, this is a call center. This is an answering service. Just like, you know, our listeners are credit unions for the most part, and they often fall into the mindset of, well, I'm just a commodity. You know, there's all these other people doing the same thing. So how have you guys managed to differentiate, and how are you able to charge more than a really probably generic outsourced call answering service?
Well, I'd go back to that mission of making meaningful connections. We see every call as an opportunity to do that. And those calls that small businesses get really and truly are major opportunities. When you look at research, for example, from Google, 61% of people feel that calling a business during their decision process is an important part of that decision process. So when they're going to purchase, they want to call a business and talk to them. And 72% of people from a Consumer Reports research that came out a few years ago, they'll hang up if they get an automated system or if they get voicemail. So that live answer to a phone call when it's truly helpful, guiding, and making a connection can be the difference between winning and losing business for small businesses. And as small business owners, you don't have the luxury of time to answer every single call live because you're running the business, you're doing the business, you're wearing multiple hats. So having a trusted and high quality partner that you can rely on to not only answer your calls live, answer them within four rings, be knowledgeable enough about your business, so knowledgeable that we're usually mistaken at Ruby as being in our customer's office. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we hear these great stories from customers who say, I had this new client come in and they said, where's that wonderful person I spoke to on the phone? And they have to say, well, that's actually Ruby Receptionist. It's a service we use to answer their phones. So all of those things come together in delivering a lot of value to our customers. And that's what we're charging is really the value that we're giving our customers back. We're helping them grow their business by making those meaningful connections and making great impressions on their first-time callers or potential customers. And we're guiding all their customers every time they call to generate customer loyalty.
So to put you on the spot here a little bit, because I know you're not a credit union expert, if you were to look at a credit union, what would you say are the three biggest low-cost opportunities to get better at delighting their members and prospects? You just live in this world of delight.
Right. So I've done some thinking, reflecting on this, knowing that I was coming onto this podcast and that the focus was credit unions. And I'm actually a member, so I've had some of these experiences. I've been a member of two separate credit unions. But the things that I can see sort of immediately are things that probably don't feel like they would have a lot of impact until you actually are on the receiving end of it. So one of the things that I would say to credit unions is that your mission as being part of the community and being smaller means that you have the opportunity to know your customers or your members better than any large financial institution ever could. And you can use that knowledge and understanding of your members and that little bit of more direct interaction you have with them in order to create a connection. And any kind of moment of connection of remembering the people who come in, remembering a conversation you had with them, connecting with them on that level, that's unexpected, particularly in the financial services world where most people, you know, you're sort of an account and a number and people don't expect that. And it's when you have those unexpected moments of joy or connection, that's what drives delight. And that's what sticks in customers' mind. And that's what drives customer loyalty. So one low cost thing I would say is, you know, your members better, use it. Don't be afraid to use it. Don't be afraid to have conversations and communication with them outside of just the transaction. A second area that I'd look at is credit unions by their nature have a lot of personality. They're usually organized around a common theme, a club, a location, something around that. And that's how you're participating in the community. And that gives them a lot of personality. But I don't always see credit unions using that to their best effort in marketing communications, in how they present themselves on their web, how they send out brochures. It's a really rich opportunity to tap into, again, that kind of common theme that's brought you together as a credit union that is drawing your members and potential members to you, and use that language in your marketing messaging and on the website and in your brochures. Don't be afraid to give little factoids about, you know, if you're the Pacific Northwest Credit Union or the Redwood Credit Union, what's interesting about Redwoods? What's interesting about Pacific Northwest? That's going to make you stand out and be a bit unique and create that unexpected delight rather than just plain facts and figures and numbers. There's more of a human interest in there. And a third thing that I would look at is, don't discount delight that you can give your customers by reducing their need for choice and alleviating what I like to call decision fatigue. When you look at the world today, we're in a world of hyper choice as consumers. Think about standing at the grocery store trying to decide what peanut butter to buy. It's like, I don't know. Do I want crunchy? Do I want smooth? Is it organic? Maybe I want almond butter. I'm not sure. And so that overwhelming sense of choice that we face on a daily basis as consumers is tiring. As credit unions, you just can't compete with the same scope of products that a major financial institution will. But don't worry about that. You've taken the time to understand what your members' needs are, what the best products and services are to fit their pain points. And you've curated the set down for them, helping to eliminate a lot of that decision fatigue. And so while that feels sort of contrary, well, you're eliminating a pain point, it's really that sense of relief that a member can get and that trust and knowing, you've done this hard work for me, I don't have to expend that energy. That's delightful as well. And I would say, don't be afraid to sort of promote that you have curated this to help them with that decision process.
I love that. I love that book, The Paradox of Choice. You may have read it. Yeah, it's all about the more choices we get, the less happy we are.
Yep. Yeah. So ironic.
It's so ironic, isn't it? Can you give any data? You already touched on this, but you know why delight isn't a fuzzy concept. Mm-hmm. We talked about this a little bit in the past around Net Promoter Score, mm-hmm. and we actually had another podcast with someone around the customer effort score concept of just making it easier. But you know why is delight? Why should we believe that it's something that drives real financial results and actual loyalty?
So I have two data points. One is at the macro level, and this is one of my favorite pieces of research. Forrester Research between 2007 and 2014 looked at two portfolios. They took the top 10 customer experience companies, you know, as ranked on various measures like NPS and so forth, and consumer, you know, the consumer index, and then it put them in a portfolio, and then they took the top 10 worst companies, and they watched them, and they watched their financial returns over that period of time. And what they found was, not surprisingly, the top 10 outperformed the bottom 10, but they also, the top 10 also outperformed the S&P 500, and their return was about 35 points higher than the S&P 500. Now the bottom 10, you know, obviously did worse, and they did worse than the S&P 500 by about 45 points on return. So that's an 80 point spread between being an expert and recognized for excellent customer service, and Delight plays a lot into that. So much of what you do with Delight is around the customer experience. And so when you look at that spread, I think it's pretty clear that it does pay. Mm-hmm. The other point, or other data point I like to look at, is very micro and close to Ruby. Mm-hmm. At Ruby Receptionists, historically and consistently, our biggest source of leads and signups to the service come from word of mouth referrals. It averages about 30%, which is kind of our biggest lead source, as I said. And unfortunately, our record keeping on some of this is not the best, but we do know anecdotally and without precise data that we do track how often we engage in confirming a connection with a customer, and we call it wowing customers. And so we look at how often we're sending them a note card or a gift or something along those lines. And we track that, not very well, as I said, very manually, but we know that when that flow slows down, when our receptionists aren't having enough time to do that, our word of mouth referrals also goes down. So I don't have the exact data to prove that correlation, but we can see anecdotally that those two things seem to be related.
Interesting. Cool. So that delay, you know, drives referrals. That's great. That's what we all want.
And referrals drive business, right?
And referrals drive business. Yeah, no question. Can you give some examples of what Delight looks like over the phone? Because I think, and I should have said, full disclosure, we've been a client of Ruby's for 9-ish years, and we got the chance to work with them on their new website over the last 8 months or something like that. So there's connections here, and I know a fair bit about the company, but it's such a, like, it's like a, what, 30 to 60 second interaction that you guys are having with most of your clients and with the callers who are coming in. Mm-hmm. And you guys have put so much thought into what are these things that we can systematize to create that delight, as well as the kind of seemingly random things you mentioned. So can you just tell us, of how do you take a 30-second phone call and make it into a delightful experience?
Sure. Do you mind if I take a small detour before we do that?
Of course. It's your show. That's why we brought you on.
Thanks. So before kind of getting into some of those more specific tactics, I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about the philosophy of Delight overall, because I think there's a couple important sort of foundational things when you're thinking about bringing Delight into your organization. And first and foremost, As you're looking to expand how you leverage this, you have to think about it more broadly from just a campaign or a specific tactic. It really has to be a part of your culture. Mm-hmm. When it's a part of your culture, and that's how we do some of what we do on the phone, because what we've done is made it okay for employees to leverage that natural instinct most people have to make somebody happy or to make them feel better. And so if it's part of your culture, you're going to tap into that. You're going to make it okay. And it's going to feel authentic then, because that's the other part of Delight. Delight can sometimes feel very forced, especially if it's focused on a very specific campaign, and it can feel, you know, it can actually backfire on you in some way. So making it part of your culture is really an important thing. And that's a lot of what Ruby has done. I'd also point to Maggie Lang at Kimpton Hotels. She has a great talk that she gave actually last year at none other than the Delight Conference here in Portland in 2016. And if you can find that talk, if you can find it on the web, it's really great, where she talks about how at Kimpton Hotels, they really make it a part of their culture too. And that shows up a lot. And so the other thing I'd say about Delight sort of philosophically is, it's not just about greatly pleasing the people that you're interacting with. It's doing that when it's unexpected. That's what makes it stick. That's what makes people remember it. It's anticipating things, anticipating their needs, and giving them what they don't even know they want. And that, again, helps a lot if your culture is supporting people thinking about that and being free to do that. Okay. So that was my little soapbox about delight and sort of why, you know, it's kind of important to do that. So over the phone, you know, a lot of things are pretty simple. It's even things just like saying our customer's name or our caller's name. So for example, one of the things we do to leverage technology to make this more systematized is that we, with our customers, we can connect with their contacts in some of their CRM systems and through their mobile phone, and we can pull that into our system and then recognize when callers who they have in their contacts are calling them. So that makes it easier for us to know that we're saying their name right, because you'd be surprised at how often people mumble when they get on the phone. So that kind of like the person feels heard, they know you're recognizing them, that type of thing helps. Providing easy ways for our receptionists to make connections with callers as well. One of the main things that most people's default conversation shtick is, how about that weather? Like, did you notice how cold it is out there today, Cameron? It's really cold. So one of the things we did with our technology is we brought the local weather in. We sit here in Portland, Oregon, and God knows we have our own interesting weather, but when we're taking a call for one of our clients in Chicago, they're probably talking about the crazy windstorm. And having that weather there and using technology to do that means our receptionist can make that connection. And it provides a moment of delight because it's a moment of common connection, and it's unexpected when you're making that call. One of the other favorite things that we did, and I think this is one of your favorites too, is the Ruby alphabet.
It's totally one of my favorites. Yeah.
And so this is another, you know, I like to talk about seeking the unique. This is something that we talk about in some of our blog posts. And credit unions just have a wealth of mundane transactions where you can look at them a little bit differently and think about how can we make this a little bit more unique. And Ruby did that. When you're taking messages for people, you're constantly confirming the spelling of names. And one of our receptionists noted that we were using a couple years ago the standard, you know, A is for Alpha, B is for Bravo. It's very dry. It doesn't have Ruby's brand, and it's not very delightful. I mean, it comes from the military,
right? So
I don't think they'd be offended if I said the military wasn't delightful. So this receptionist had an idea. They sent it up to the company. Again, that kind of culture infused acceptance of delight. And so we now have the Ruby alphabet. So when we validate spelling, we validate with A for absolutely, B for brilliant. My favorites, I for ice cream and K for kittens. So, you know, and that is one of those key moments. It takes only a few seconds. It's a mundane part of the transaction, verifying how you spell your name. And it is unexpected, and it just creates delight. The amount of comments we get back on that simple thing, the Ruby alphabet, you'd be amazed.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Okay, I love that. So seeking the unique, because I think every business has this whole host of mundane transactions. So that's what you're saying, is go find those and just see how you can like reimagine them.
Yeah.
What about, one of the reasons I really want to have you on the podcast is you guys have like this incredibly vivacious culture, and that's kind of what you get known for, of course. And the marketing is so bright and colorful, and when people interact with the receptionist, it's so great. And so sometimes people don't realize, right, that you guys are, you're moving towards becoming like this definitive app for small and mid-sized companies. And there's a $40 million investment because people saw the potential. So you guys are a heavy-duty technology company. Tell us about some of the cool technology stuff that you're doing. You already touched on that, but anything else related to digital delight or using technology to facilitate delight?
So it's interesting. As you said, Ruby really cracked the nut on delightful customer experience when it comes to the receptionist experience. And before I joined the organization, we got that investment. And that was part of the reason we got the investment, was we really hadn't spent a lot of time on the digital products or on the customer-facing technology pieces. We had done a lot more on the internal-facing pieces, but not so much on the customer-facing. And so I've been working to kind of build that delight into the mobile app, into what we're doing on the website, what you guys did for us on the website as well. Although that was not my project, but I got to...
You should take credit for it.
Okay. I got to sit on the sidelines. It was awesome to watch you guys work. So... you know, there's, we still have a lot of room to go. And a couple of things that, one of the things that I guess I would point to that we've done is, and that I think people can look to is really, so we redesigned our mobile app completely. We put it out there. as we watched how people used it in the patterns, we could see that through analytics and through some anecdotal interviews, customers would come to the app. First thing they did was set their status for the day. And so we were able to anticipate a need or hypothesize a need that we built into the app. And it turned out to be very delightful, which is we now can integrate with your calendar. So it's very easy for you to set your status, and your status is temporary call handling instructions. So you log into the app. First thing in the day, it shows you a list of all of your calendar events, and you can easily say, you know, pick this one, and this one, and set my status for them. So now your day is set up. You don't have to worry about where your calls are going. You know, they're being handled correctly. Customers didn't even know they wanted that. They just knew that they needed to go in and change their call handling. While that is potentially removing a personal touch point for our customers, it is alleviating pain for them. It's a delightful little screen they get to see, and it helps them have that confidence in knowing that the receptionists are handling their calls that they want to. So that, you know, that's one example of how we're kind of doing that. And we're also always looking for moments, again, in those mundane tasks to provide a bit of delight. But by contrast, I'll give you an example of when it backfires, because I think it's always great to learn from things that don't work well. And so in the app, when we designed it, we have this wonderful, it's one of my favorite pieces of delight, but it's definitely a lesson. The navigation dial in the Ruby app is this great little retro throwback to the old rotary phone. So you tap it and it sort of rolls up like an old rotary phone, and then you have to tap to get to wherever you want to go. It's really delightful the first 2-3 times that you use it, but from a usability perspective, right, it's really not that
not
great.
Not the 10th, 11th, 12th time.
Exactly. And so I think that's one lesson as you're looking at taking these types of things and using technology to provide delight, to really think about those things too and make sure that you're not sacrificing the usability and the utility of your technology pieces and your applications for something delightful. So that will probably evolve over time.
That makes
Although
sense.
It is super cute.
It is cute, yeah. And you know, the podcast we did on customer effort score, that was one of the key things of, you know, it's like the easiest way to create disloyalty is by making something hard.
Yeah.
And then delight is a way to create loyalty, but you need to make sure you're not making it hard in the process of trying to delight them.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So what, since I know you guys have really started staking out this position as like, I mean, there's others out there for sure, but experts on delight and experts on customer service, what kind of resources do you guys make available?
So we have a lot of articles, blog posts on our website. I can give you a list of some of the key ones that if you want to attach them to the just a little cross promotion podcast afterwards, but there's some really great resources in there from some of the thinking from our customer experience, wins and losses, and what we've learned works really well. So there's a lot of kind of how-to blog posts. We also have a couple of videos around this and some additional sort of one-sheet resources that we give people. Myself and also our head of user experience also try and participate in the community here locally and more broadly, advocating service design as a way to really understand where those moments of delight are. It's something we use internally a lot. We make, you know, articles and efforts from those projects available as well.
Okay. And I don't think we said this, callruby.com is the site. And
callruby.com.
So the blog's got all the resources on
there. Take a look. It's fairly beautiful and functional.
I know the folks who worked on it. I'd love to actually jump to, do you have any favorite customer stories you'd like to share? Because I think, you know, we talked about a lot of data and a lot of theory, but I think that's a lot of what I think keeps you guys waking up in the morning and excited to go to work. So any customer stories you'd love to share with our audience about what this looks like when it works?
Yeah. So I have two stories that I'd share. So one is, we hear back from our customers all the time. We have such an influx of people sharing their experience with Ruby and what an impact we've made in either their business or their lives that we sort of have this wealth of things to pull from. But every quarter we pick out a couple of the top stories and share them with the whole company. And one that is just, I think is fun and funny comes from one of our attorney customers who is down in the South. And one of our receptionists got a call for him from the local feed store, letting him know that his chicken feed had arrived. And so, you know, the receptionist took the message and everything and used that moment to make a connection with that attorney. And so she found like How to Raise Chickens as a book and some other little chicken raising things on Amazon. put a little package together, sent that off to him and said, you know, good luck with the new additions to your family. He wrote back to us to let us know that, one, he really appreciated that. It was incredibly unexpected. And that this just affirms his understanding about how much Ruby has become a part of his company and helped him to keep his own clients loyal because of the service that we deliver, because we take the time to make a connection with them, and that he really sees us as a trusted extended part of his team. And of course the chickens were very happy and we got a great chicken photo out of it. So that's one example where, you know, that moment of delight sort of reinforced for that particular customer how much, and just made him more aware of how much we're helping him and his organization. He was a solo entrepreneur attorney down in somewhere in the South, and really just, you know, he was doing it all. And the fact that we could alleviate some of that work for him and really be a part of his team made him, I think he said something about it, made me feel less alone when I was sitting in my office working on papers.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
So, one last question before we wrap. This is a little bit off script, but it should be, you know, pretty straightforward. It's on my mind because we just interviewed this woman about customer effort score. She's a you know, really smart practice leader at Corporate Executive Board. And one thing she was kind of hammering was, you know, delight is great, but really you just got to make it easy because delight is also expensive.
Mm.
Right. You know, this notion that, I forget which one, is it Hilton or it's one of those big, you know, hotel change, and they're famous for saying, you know, up to $1,000, you know, any employee at any point can spend up to $1,000 to satisfy a client. But, you know, come on, these are people who are worth probably tens of thousands of dollars a year and huge lifetime value. And I think you guys have done some really smart things to engage and delight, you know, because I think an average customer for you guys, it's, you know, it's several hundred dollars a month. So these aren't people spending hundreds of thousands of dollars a year with you. So you can't delight me with a, you know, new refrigerator or whatever it might be, right? Or
right.
Like replacing all the tires on my car.
Yeah.
So can you share some thoughts about, like, really kind of, I'll call it this way, frugal tactics to delight for, you know, particularly for credit unions, but anyone to delight their members or customers?
Yeah. You know, it's, you know, those stories from like Kimpton Hotels or Hilton or whoever Hilton, it is, you know, they're great, but those are typically things you can only do on a one-off moment. And I sort of go back to that being a part of your culture. And there's one issue I would take with the, no disrespect to the person you interviewed previously.
Sure.
So we actually at Ruby, we have an Amazon account that any employee can tap into to buy, like in the story about the chickens, you know, any, you know, book about raising chickens and whatever else and put it together and send it off to a customer. We have a tiny bit of oversight to make sure that somebody hasn't been gifted more than once in 6 months, because then that just gets creepy. But you know, for the most part, it's kind of open and receptionists can do whatever they want. And that is definitely an expense. But when I look at the cost for our word of mouth referrals, it is the cheapest source of signups that we have. And when we do the calculation on word of mouth referrals, all of those wow gifts and all of those purchases go into, you know, what we consider the cost of acquisition for that customer. And it is still the lowest cost. So I would argue a little bit that if you think carefully about it, even providing gifts to your to members and customers when it makes sense actually isn't expensive.
Sure.
It's cheap when you think about it from the acquisition side.
Yeah. And you guys are both like big brands. I'm sure you'd agree. And I think her point was, you know, don't focus on delighting people if you're annoying them all the time, because it's so hard, right?
Yeah. And I would wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. I'm sure you'd agree, because I knew you're very good at that. What, let me just make sure I'm understanding this though. So I'm just trying to think of, like, if I'm trying to implement this.
Yeah.
So there's an Amazon account.
Right.
And you said it sounds like the criteria, it has to be personal and emotional on some level, no more than once every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the spending limit? There's some pretty expensive stuff on Amazon, right?
There is. We trust our employees to do the right thing. And if somebody doesn't do the right thing, then we deal with it. So by far and large, we find that we've hired smart, bright people, as I'm sure most of the credit unions have as well, who are passionate about the company and about the mission that they serve. And they're going to do the right thing. And if they want to do something that's over the top, they usually ask. We do have somebody who reviews it and just make sure that things are appropriate before the trigger's actually pulled. But you know, it's very lightweight oversight. So that's one thing that we do.
What would you say the average amount is, though? I'm just sort of curious, like 20 bucks, yeah, 50 bucks?
I'd say between 20 and 50 bucks. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like examples are, you know, a book about raising chickens, or someone else connected over someone who was training for their first marathon. So they got them one of the running belts so that they could put the stuff on, and, you know, not much, but it, in terms of dollars, but it still makes an impact because it's personal. Yeah. The other, you know, just frugally, I would say one of the things that we do in spades and has a pretty big impact and is cheap, note cards. You know, as a credit union, get all of your frontline staff a stack of note cards and stamps and allow them to take a moment after a transaction with a member to write a card. Did you have a great conversation about dogs? Put that in a card and send it off to them. They're going to be so delighted to get something which isn't their statement or bill or, you know, a mailer about something. That reminds them of that personal connection. That's going to stick with them, and that's going to drive that customer loyalty. And it's simple and cheap.
Great idea. All right. What's your final take? Is there anything you want to reiterate or anything we didn't get to you want to leave our listeners with?
Let's see. I think I'd probably just double down on delight needs to be part of your culture, not a campaign. Uh-huh. I actually really agree with the sentiment that the other guest said, in that you've got to get your foundation right. People are not going to be delighted that they got a note card from you if they weren't able to withdraw money,
right,
or if they weren't able to write a check. That's absolutely going to backfire from you. So make sure you get that right infrastructure. You're doing what you're saying you're going to do. You're delivering on the services that you promised your customers, and then layer the delight on top. And something we didn't really talk about, but I think is important as well, and Ruby's doing a lot more of this, is don't just guess what your customers want. Spend time talking and listening to them, or your members and your potential members, and partner with them through research, through interviews, through looking at how they use things from digital products and analytics, to really gain an understanding of what their pain points are and what their opportunities, and understand that broader context in which they operate, not just how they're interacting with your products and services, but what does their day look like overall. That's going to give you those moments of those sort of aha moments to find other opportunities to provide delight that you might not have seen if you sort of only looked at them through the lens of that particular transaction with your product or service.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us, Catherine.
Thanks. It's been fun. Appreciate it, Cameron.